If you begin to drive south on Route 1 from Oarsmen Dodge or so, and travel all the way down to where Route 1 runs into 95, you will pass within your view only two churches. You will pass Gunston Baptist, which is prominent on the corner on the left-hand side as you go south at Beacon Mall. And then as you go through Fort Belvoir at the very beginning, you'll see the Quaker Meeting House on the right-hand side. Now, some might say that you also will see Rising Hope, and you would if you know to look for it. However, in that same journey, you will pass at least six establishments with rather large and garish signs inviting you to come in for a palm reading or spiritual advising or some sort of fortune telling. Now, I don't know how well these businesses do. I have lived around here long enough to know that most of them have been here for a while. We are a people. I think people in general want to know what the future brings and will bring. Moses, in his words today, we're talking to a people who had the same feeling and experience. They had journeyed with Moses for 40 years, and their future had been anything but what they imagined it to be. Moses is sharing some final thoughts before he dies, before he hands over leadership to Joshua and the people of God enter in to the promised land. He tells them to avoid the practices of divination, sorcery, fortune-telling, and magic. He says that there will be a prophet who will be raised up among you, who will remind you of the things of God, who will be like me, like Moses. We need to pay attention to what's going on here. Not because we are all running out seeking our palms to be read and our fortunes to be told by some psychic, but because in this world there are practices and there are things going on that we depend on almost as much. There's a whole field called, with people called futurists, that try to discern what is going on and where things are going. And for the most part, they're interesting, but no one seems to be checking to see if they're right. Future Shock was an exciting book 30 years ago, as predictions were being made of what was to come. George Orwell's book before that, 1984, hinted at possibilities that may or may not have come true. Indeed, when we were working our way up to the year 2000, the crisis call was all around us. People were frantic about what was going to happen to their computers, and even many Christians were listening to and paying attention to predictions of how God was coming back and in what time frame. This was it. More seriously, when we think about our science and our technology, we investigate the physical world, the world around us, in order to see how things are ordered, and so we can manage the future. What will happen? We do this with our levy system and our attempt to build structures that can endure a certain level of flooding. Science and technology have given us a false sense that we can control our future. The worst one that we experience is called leading economic indicators. How we pay attention to leading economic indicators. It has the ring of science and technology and of authority. Did they tell us what was going to happen? And if they did anyone pay attention? And if we paid attention, did anyone do anything about it? The fact of the matter is that there are prophecies being made all over the place. And these attempts to predict the future, whether they're by reading a palm or reading cards or investigating the leading economic indicators, are all an attempt to manipulate and force God into a corner. Whether you're doing it by magic or you're doing it by science, when you seek to approach the future as if you're in control or the authority is in control, then that means God is not in control. Paying attention to what Moses tells us about prophets will help us let God be in control. Number one, Moses attended to God's call with humility. When God speaks into our world and into our lives, this is not an occasion to posture as someone great. It is an occasion to take the appropriate attitude that you are not the one in control, but God is. Moses did not want to do what God had asked him. And when he finally decided to do so, he needed a great deal of help. And as he executed his office as the leader of the people of God out of Egypt and into the Promised Land, he had to trust God at nearly every turn. He did not know how it was going to turn out. He only knew the God who had assured the outcome. Less posturing, less claims of being authoritative, less I can do it without God, and more I need God, more that God is the authority and I will go where God sends, is the first measure of prophecy and the prophetic church. The second measure of what a prophet is that you are not breaking with the past. So much of what passes for prophecy in our day tells us that we have to break with our past. And in some ways, we know that we can't live in the past. But I must tell you that there have been some gifts from God that are in our past that we have treasured through the years, and they must be lifted up over and over and over again because they are the gifts of God that remind us who God is then, now, and forever. The commandments of God are guides that help us know what is right and wrong. The declaration of Jesus that in these commandments, everything is summed up. Love God. Love your neighbor as yourself. The life of Jesus, the death and the resurrection of Jesus. What love truly means. Indeed, if we are going to be a prophetic people, rooted in the truth of what makes us who we are in God's kingdom, we must be so planted in Scripture and its revelation of God's love and revelation of God's holiness, and yes, even the revelation and the promise of God's future, that we will not tolerate or entertain anything less. It's not just a matter of having learned it in Sunday school. It's not just a matter of having once read it and never gone back. It's a matter of living and breathing in each and every day some portion of Scripture and bringing it into life that day. How today will I love? How today will I honor God? How today will I make someone else's life easier? How today will the world know of God's kingdom, God's future, because of the life that I live? How will I serve God today? With humility, rooted in Scripture, and rooted in the people of God. Moses does not say to the people of God, there will be some outside force or person who comes to lead you. Moses says, there is one among you who will be risen up as a prophet. For too long, the people of God have looked outside the church, the people of God, for their authorities, for their comfort, and their security. But our security cannot be found in leading economic indicators and the science of economics. And our security in the future cannot be found in engineering or calculus or computers. And it certainly can't be found in psychics, magicians, and fortune tellers. Our future security is in God, in God's ways. And if we don't believe that, how are we going to receive God's promises, either now or in the future? How are we going to live another day if God is not the authority we need? Jesus offended many people when he came into his hometown and taught and healed. Who is he? He was offensive. And I suppose if we approach the future trusting in God humbly, rooting ourselves in Scripture, and living life that way, that some will find us offensive. So be it. Can we do that? Are you brave enough? Am I brave enough? It doesn't mean that we don't pay attention a little bit to things about science and technology. It is part of the air we breathe. But it seems to me that we have given more authority, more value, more attention to human and earthly authority than we have to heavenly and godly authority. And it seems to me, if that is true, then it's time for us to shift to the real hope we all hold and to the real future that we want and the promise that really is trustworthy, the one given to us in Christ by God's love.